Well, here we are. Amen. We're all here again. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're saved? Born again, child of God, on your way to heaven, rejoicing every day. Well, we ought to be. Yeah, there's that wonderful verse that I allude to quite often, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Really? That's why I call it an impossible verse. Have you ever met anybody like that? Yeah. Always means always. Well, anyway, that's another message for another time. But I have the lighter side with me, and I'd just like to share this with you. And it's just, you know, I'm just itching to let you have it. Well, anyway, a patient came to see a doctor, and she had two red ears. And the doctor asked what happened to her ears, and she said, well, I was ironing a shirt, and the phone rang. But instead of picking up the phone, I accidentally put the iron to my ear. Oh dear, the doctor exclaimed, but what happened to the other ear? The same guy called back. Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I know that there are people everywhere that they drink this stuff called coffee, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but there are some indicators when you know that you drink too much coffee, such as when instant coffee takes too long. You know you're drinking too much coffee. Or you know you drink too much coffee when your goal in life is to amount to a hill of beans. Or you know you drink too much coffee when someone says, how are you? And you say, good to the last drop. You know, you drink too much coffee when your birthday's a national holiday in Brazil. You know, you drink too much coffee when you go to sleep so you can just wake up and smell the coffee. You know, you drink too much coffee when you name your cats Cream and Sugar. You know, you drink too much coffee when you don't even wait for the water to boil anymore. Or you think being called a drip is a compliment. You know, you drink too much coffee when you go to AA meetings just for the free coffee. You know, you drink too much coffee when you forget to unwrap the candy bars before eating them. Or you've built a miniature city out of the little plastic stirrers. You know you drink too much coffee. Well, you know, this may come as a surprise to some of you, but in Las Vegas, there are more Catholic churches than there are casinos. And not surprisingly, some worshipers at Sunday services will give casino chips rather than cash when the basket is passed. Since they get the chips from many different casinos, the churches have devised a method to collect the offerings. The churches send all their collected chips to a nearby Franciscan monastery for sorting, and then the chips are taken to the casinos of origin and then cashed in. This is done by the chip monks. Now you know. Well, a woman had some time to kill at an airport. Buying a cup of coffee and a small package of cookies, She staggered to an unoccupied table. She was reading the morning paper when she became aware of rustling at her table. And from behind her paper, she was flabbergasted to see a neatly dressed young man helping himself to her cookies. She did not want to make a scene, so she leaned across and took a cookie for herself. A minute or two passed, more rustling. He was helping himself to another cookie. By the time they were down to the last cookie, she was very angry but could not bring herself to say anything. Then the young man broke the remaining cookie in two, pushed half across to her, ate the other half, and left. Sometime later, when the public address system called for her to present her ticket, she was still fuming. Imagine her embarrassment when she opened her handbag and was confronted by her package of cookies. She had been eating his all along. Wow. Yeah, I thought so. I share this little discourse with you. A lawyer and a doctor. What a combination. So, the lawyer says to the doctor, he said, "So doctor, you determined that a gunshot wound was the cause of death of the patient." And the doctor said, "That's correct." The lawyer said, "Did you examine the patient when he came into the emergency room?" The doctor said, "No. I performed the autopsy." And the lawyer said, "Okay, were you aware of his vital signs when he was at the hospital?" The doctor said, "He came into the emergency room in shock and died a short time later." And the lawyer said, "Did you pronounce him dead at that time?" And the doctor said, "No, I am the pathologist who performed the autopsy. I was not involved with the patient initially." And the lawyer said, "Well, are you even sure then that he died in the emergency room?" The doctor said, "That is what the records indicate." And the lawyer said, "But if you weren't there, how could you pronounce him dead, having not seen or physically examined the patient at that time?" The doctor said the autopsy showed massive hemorrhaging in the chest area, and that was the cause of death. The lawyer said, "I understand that, but you were not actually present to examine the patient and pronounce him dead. Isn't that right?" The doctor said, "No, sir. I did not see the patient or actually pronounce him dead. But I did perform an autopsy, and right now his brain is in a jar over at the county morgue. And as for the rest of the patient, for all I know, he could be out practicing law somewhere." I heard this, I know this one, next one is a spiritual one because I heard it in the pastor's meeting. It's a little story. A story about a man who goes into the pet store. The pet store, and while he's there, he's looking around, and there's a disturbance in the store, and he's come to find out that there's this bird that's trying to get his attention. So he's doing his very best to ignore this bird. And finally, he gives in to the bird, and the bird says to him, he said, "Hey!" And the man said, "What?" The bird said, "You're ugly." Well, that caught him by surprise. He didn't know what to make of that, and the store owner overheard the bird say that. And so he takes the bird into the back room, and he said, "Now look, we're trying to get business. We need people to come in the store, and so we can't do that if you keep calling our customers ugly. So the next time you do that, I'm going to bring you back here into this room, put you in your cage, and put a blanket over it for a month. So behave yourself." Takes the bird, puts it back out there in the perch. And the man was still in the store yet. And he was checking out, and now he was heading out the door. And by this time, he was a little paranoid. He walks by the bird, and the bird said, "Hey!" And the man said, "What?" And the bird said, "You know." Every place I share that, people have fun with that afterwards. People are going around saying, "Hey, what? You know." Yeah, I can hear it already. Amen. Some of you can't wait to try it on somebody here. Hey. We're in a missions conference. You know what that's all about? That's all about giving to missions. Here you are. You're at Thursday night church. Yeah. You know, most people don't go to church on Thursday night. But then you're not most people, right? You're just the few that do. And so you're a blessing in a huge way. And so what do we do in a missions conference? Well, we come and we let a speaker move and motivate us to challenge us to give more. And that's what God wants to do. I mean, His Word is filled with all kinds of things that cause us or calls us to be a faithful giver and to give so that people are one to Christ through our giving. For instance, notice here in Luke, if you would, chapter 6. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, this is a directive, this is a command, and this is God speaking. Now, you'll remember, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2, where the Word of God says that we are a steward. And so remember that. As the fact of the matter is, that is who we always are now that we're saved. We're a steward, caretakers of that which belongs to God. So we're in Luke chapter 6, and you'll notice the very first word in verse 38. When you've found the verse, let's say it all together. 1, 2, 3. What is the verse?
Give.
All right. Who said it? Yeah, Jesus did. Well, you can't get any higher than that. I mean, He is the Supreme, the Supreme, the Supreme, the Supreme. And who's He talking to? Talking to the saints. Yeah, He's talking to us. He says, give. He said, give. Does He need to say anything more? We ought to be a Mr. Obedient. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. To obey. You know, we adults teach our children, you obey your mommy and daddy now. And so should mommy and daddy obey God. Amen, children? Amen. Yes. God commands. We obey and we follow the Lord's will. And yet God wants to challenge you to do something really special that would require faith. All right? That would require faith. And there's a principle involved here in faith promise missions giving. It's a huge principle. But you're going to notice it says here, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet wherewithal, it shall be measured to you again. All right. Here's that verse that says, you can't outgive God. Haven't you said that before? How many times have you said that? You've actually heard your voice say, you can't outgive God. You caught yourself saying that. Wow. Yeah. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know what I'm saying? If you're telling somebody else to do it, why not practice it yourself? Amen? Yeah, you know how hard that is? It's so easy to give everybody else advice. Have you ever tried to live the advice that you give to somebody else? Ha, 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 ha. Now, there's a challenge, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, after all, who's this verse for? Wow. It's for you. Just as much as you give advice to someone else, this is for them as well. But the fact of the matter is, it is a directive and it is a command. Give. But I believe the last time that I was here, I mentioned a factor that seems to enter into the picture about the fact of being a Baptist. You know what a Baptist is? Well, they're poor folks. Yeah, they don't have much. But that makes you perfect candidates. Perfect candidates. Because that means living by faith is not a choice. I mean, you have to. There's no other way. It's just simply got to be. But we have this security blanket that we would really call that. We say, because we're Baptists, therefore we're poor. I mean, that just goes hand in hand. It's a hand that fits a glove. But wait a minute, don't we boast that God is God? Yeah, we boast that, right? I mean, does God do things that a God would do? Yeah. But I am so sure, I have discovered this over and over again, that even though God is our God, we just don't let Him be God in our life. We limit His power. I mean, God says to trust Him by faith, but we won't. He asked us to move, to simply move when He speaks, but we won't. We are obstinate. We are hard. We are difficult to move. I'm reminded of a little story. It's one that I've heard a long time ago, and it just occurred to me. About this man who tried to get his donkey to move. Donkey was hooked to a cart. And he did everything that he could to get this donkey to move. Couldn't get him to move. Couldn't get him to move. Kind of sounds like the Holy Spirit trying to get you to move. That's a challenge in itself, eh? Yeah, that's why we have meetings like this. So that God can get us to move. So this farmer, he said, I'll fix that donkey. And that dog, he lit a fire right underneath that. He built a little fire and put it right underneath that donkey. You know what that donkey did? That donkey moved just far enough ahead so that that fire would burn up the wagon that he was pulling. Hey, look, we're going to find the most convenient ways to do as little for God as possible. That's our nature. It's our nature. Now, keeping this in mind, I'd like you to go with me to Colossians chapter 1. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, if you'll notice this with me, I just think this is absolutely incredibly amazing, but it says here in verse 16, For by Him were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And notice how easy it is it's going to be to say amen to that. If you agree to that, say amen. See, wasn't that easy? Wow, is that ever easy to say amen to that? But hey, the last part's not so easy to say amen to. It says not only were they created by Him, but it says, and what? For Him. That means that God created your money for Him. We just, did you notice I cut out all the middle stuff and it went right to the heart of the thing? Yeah. God created it for Him. Yeah. In other words, He has access to all the things that you have. Every once in a while, I get a chance to see some messages that are really impressive to me. And I saw one that C.H. Spurgeon preached one time. And he entitled it, Call Out the Reserves. Call out the reserves. In other words, he's calling out the saints of God to say, look, if you're sitting on a pile, give it to God. You know what I mean by that? We like to keep a certain amount back. Well, hey, what if you die and go to heaven and that certain amount is still here? You didn't use it for the Lord. Calling out the reserves. You know, some of us, we want to save our best for a later day in life. Now that sounds good, but the application's absolutely terrible. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell now. And they need our best now. But we're not in a hurry, are we? We're not in a hurry. We just somehow take our time and hopefully God will find some other way to meet these people's needs. After all, what is a missions conference all about? What's it for? It's about reaching the lost in the different areas of the world and even here at home. Getting people saved. Getting people into heaven. Why? Because they need to go. The alternative is absolutely terrible. There are people all around us that are dying, are there not? Even in this room tonight, I know that there are people that are sitting here that know there are people that are related to you that if they died now, they'd go to hell. We have lost loved ones that I believe that some of us have given up on. And when we give up on what we would consider to be home missions, wouldn't we consider that? I mean, aren't you a missionary? You have the message, and they're the ones that need it. How many of us have quit praying for them because we just simply said, hey, they're not going to hear anybody. And after all, if they ever got saved, it would be a miracle. I'm really telling you, we ought to be hungry for miracles. I don't think we Baptists have seen enough miracles. I think we're a bit anemic when it comes to miracles. I think we ought to pray like we believe that God can still perform miracles on our behalf. You see, God will listen if you pray. If you lift up your voice and call on God to do these great things to meet the needs of these people. I have an account I'd like to share with you, and that would be over here in 1 Samuel, if you would, please. In the book of 1 Samuel, and we'll go here to chapter 1. In 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and we'll start right here at the top side in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The Word of God says, Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Zophim of Mount Ephraim And his name was Elkanah, son of Jeroboam, or Jehoram rather, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the other, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. It's a story that you know well, but listen very carefully. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters he gave portions. But you'll notice here in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. As he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Wow, she prayed a prayer. Her womb was shut up, and she wanted to give God a child. Wow, she didn't have a child to give. Look at the faith promise principle here. You're a poor Baptist. Means you don't have much. Why do we have a missions conference like this? Why does the preacher insist on giving out pink cards? I don't know, maybe you'd like a different color. But hey, why does he insist on giving us cards? We went through this last year and the year before and the year before and the year before and the year before and the year before. Well, I think he said something about 32 years. That's a lot of year befores. It's a lot of increased giving. Some of you aren't even that old. But nonetheless, to increase our giving is something that God is able to do. Would you say God is able to do that? Yeah. But the real question is, are you able to do that? You see, that's the issue. That's why we have a missions conference. You know, as far as God's concerned, look, hey, He's already going to increase. He just needs you to do it. He needs you to agree. That's why you're here. So that you can agree with God and you can leave here together both in agreement. As God would speak to your heart. Why did Hannah pray to God for a child? it would appear to me that God moved upon her heart to do so. Don't you think that God could move on your heart to increase your giving toward missions? It's all about the fact of the matter is you don't have anything to start with anyhow. That's why we call it faith. Yeah, we call it faith. I don't understand it. Preacher, why our pastor just insists we should give more? He ought to know that we're losing jobs hand over fist. He ought to know that our economy's going belly up. Why would he want to have a missions conference so that we would increase our giving? Well, because he still believes in God. That he can make something happen out of nothing. See, because we came in here with nothing. And if God ever increases giving out of us nothings, that's got to be miracles. Miracles, plural. One after the other, after the other, after the other. Hannah has nothing. She wants to give God a child. But in order for that to happen, God has to give her the child first. Yeah. Don't you want to give to the missions and don't you want to give to God and increase your giving? Amen. Boy, was that ever weak, preacher. Amen. That's a little bit better. Just a little bit. Oh, and a little bit more. That would be nicer still. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. We ought to be able to be just absolutely excited. Excited of the fact that there are people who are on their way to hell that need to be saved, and all of God's people said to that? Yeah, amen. And now somehow we need to reach them. But that's going to take effort from us. Which means to say, since we don't have anything at our disposal, we have to go to our God. When we go to our God, we're going to ask Him for a miracle. Because if God's ever going to do anything through us, it's going to be a miracle. We have to have that mindset. Preacher, do you know how much energy that requires of me to be able to get up enough nerve to think that God could make a miracle happen through me? Some of us are willing to let others do it and watch them be blessed while we suffer emptiness. You ever wonder why we get to feeling empty at times? I'm telling you. It is not God's fault. It is not God's fault that we come up empty. I think that some of us are afflicted with emptiness. And we can only blame ourselves. Boy, I'm telling you what, Hannah knew what to do with her burdened heart. But you have to understand, she had to have a burdened heart to begin with. You know, that's why the Scripture warns, where there is no vision, what happens then? The people perish. If there is no vision, Hannah had a vision. Wow, that's why she talked with the Lord. That's why we don't do so well in our increased giving, because we don't have a vision. We don't have the vision that we need. Do you think God has the power to give you a vision? This is where you get to say amen. Yeah. Amen. I believe that God can give me a vision. But how many of you would even ask for one? Preacher, I don't have time for a vision. Yeah, isn't that true? I mean, we've got all these conveniences. Never have we ever had it so easy in our life. But now we're so busy, we don't have time for God. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to ask God to give us increased vision. And we don't have enough money to give any more to missions. Boy, it really just doesn't matter in what state we're in. A state of affairs, if you would. We just simply find the least amount of ways in serving God. Giving the least. Attending the least, paying attention that's our nature, friend. We were born that way. If we're ever going to amount to anything for God, we're going to have to. You're not going to like this word. You're not going to like this word. Here it comes. Work. I'm sorry. Yeah. Work! Yeah, but have you noticed it takes work to pray, work to trust God, work to have a vision, work to increase mission giving? That's why so many don't do it. Just the mere thought exhausts us. We can't even move from where we're at. Yeah. So what happens? The people perish. Because we don't have a vision. And not only do we not have a vision, we refuse to get one. How about them apples? We refuse to get one. I mean, when was the last time the Holy Spirit just reached into your heart and just did some twisting and some turning and some moving and some upward strokes and downward strokes and really got a hold of your heart? Well, now let's see, preacher, that's been about a fortnight ago. Well, I can't remember the last time that was. Hey, are you open to it today? Is your mindset prepared and ready to receive the utmost and the blessedness of just being used of God? How many souls can be brought to Jesus just through you, dear poor Baptist? Yeah. Keeping this in mind, she made the prayer request. We notice verse 12. It says here, "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." Now, they didn't have magic markers back in that day, so he didn't go over there and put a mark on it. It just meant that he was watching her mouth because it was something different that he hadn't seen. And it says here in verse 13, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." That's what he gets for thinking. Did you ever get in trouble just because of what you thought? You know, some people, the only exercise they get is when they jump to conclusions. You ever notice that? It's about the only exercise they get when they jump to conclusions. I think we're surrounded with the people who jump to conclusions. You need to search out the whole thing. Eli should have. Oh, but it wasn't taking long before he was proved wrong. But you'll notice here it said, "And Eli said unto her, How long will you be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went and went her way and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the early morning, rather in the morning early, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to her house in Ramah, and Elkanah and knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So God answered her prayer. Is this a miracle? This is a huge miracle. Look, we're the saints of God, amen? And we're just looking on and reading all the exciting things that have happened in days gone by. And we ought to be able to look back and be just as excited for them as they were in that day. It ought to somehow flow into our own veins. I mean, aren't we as much a child of God as Hannah? Yeah, aren't we asking God to do miracles through us? That's what this missions conference is here to accomplish. Perform something that is not humanly possible. That is not humanly possible. Only the divine power can make something like this happen. If we are to increase giving, I mean, there's nothing anywhere that we can find. We have to trust God. So it has to be by faith. Faith, promise, giving. And that's exactly what happened, because look at verse 27. We'll jump down there to the end. It said, for this child, she said, I pray. And the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Look, God answered Hannah's prayer. And Hannah responded by giving something she did not have previously. It is trusting God for that which you do not yet have. You see that? Hey, listen to this. The children that are present here, they don't have much. Probably have more than what you did as a parent when you're that age, I suppose, right? But the norm is, what do children have? They have the power to pray. And they have the power to trust God. And even they could ask God, Lord, would you give me something to give to missions? Could God do that? Yeah, simply because he has the power to do so, the desire to do so. I mean, wouldn't it be neat? I mean, it's to see all the missionaries there in the backboard that we support faithfully. And we want to support more. We want, therefore, to give more. Maybe some of you are new on the scene. Maybe you don't know and understand the principle of missions giving. Look, it's not asking you to take from your tithes and offerings. This is something that's beyond that. This is beyond. It's trusting God for something you don't really have and asking God to impress you with a number to be able to give. And when you get it, make sure you give it. Why? Because the money that God gives to you to give to missions, because you asked Him, because you didn't have it to begin with, He answered your prayer for the specific reason of giving it to missions. Don't you dare spend it for anything else. Oops. had a dear sweet lady that was a member of the church, the first church that I pastored. Every once in a while, she'd stand up and give a testimony. And she'd say, and she had a humble heart, and she had a soft spirit. She said, "Preacher, I thank the Lord that He didn't give me a lot of money because He knows I wouldn't know how to spend it rightly." Now, there's a lot of truth to that. Again, we are a people of inheritance. The Bible so instructs us of that. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Huh? Now, how much does he owe or own? He owns it all, right? It all belongs to him, doesn't it? It all belongs to him, and he can take it any old time he wants. He can give you anything he wants, whenever he wants. He has the power to do that. That is the sovereign power of God. So he is our heavenly Father. I remember one time I was talking to a young man who was somebody that was working in my employ, and I happened to be his manager. And he said he was going to go out and have a party on a yacht some friend had. And I said, "My father has yachts." "Really?" His eyes got pretty big. "Oh, you must have a rich father." "Yeah. He's the creator of the universe. All the yachts are his. They belong to him. You know, if God ever so chose to give me a yacht, he could. He could, but what good would that do me? So God gives me according to my what? Faith. Wow. And if you, my friend, are short on faith, then you're going to be short on everything else. It's all about faith giving. Faith giving. Giving by faith. You ask God to give you a certain amount. You don't have a clue how you're going to get it. But God impresses you with that amount. It's not in the account. It's not somewhere you can see. But you're going to wait for God to bring it in. It's going to give you something to talk about when it shows up. You see what I'm saying? It's going to give you something to brag on God about. Hey! God gave me a figure and I didn't know where it was coming from, but I'm telling you, he showed up and there it was. How's God going to increase your giving? I have no idea. But God has all the ideas he'll ever need. He can make things happen you and I can't describe or explain to anybody, even to ourselves, do we understand? So I'm saying all of this to say to you, when these cards are collected on Sunday, you'll have a figure in mind between you and God. What it is you're going to give to the Lord. Do you know what that is? "I don't know yet, preacher." Hey, that's fine. That's fine. But somehow or other, you and God need to get together before this week ends so that He can impress you with what he intends to give you so that you can give toward missions. That's what this is about. Simple, easy to get, easy to understand. I just wonder if this is something you can see in your heart and your life. We're here in this missions conference. I can see. You're here on Thursday night. You mean business. That's a great start. Now, let what God has done to you in your heart, mind, and soul to impress you to make the next step and get that much closer to God, which means what? Now you have to pray about this thing. You have to find some time where you get alone with God and you talk with God and you ask Him, "Lord, what would you have me to give?" I got an idea that He already knows. Doesn't that make sense? I'm sure he already knows. It's just you that doesn't know yet. And some of you drag your feet because you're afraid to hear the staggering amount. Some of you aren't prepared to pass out, so you don't go that far. But look, trusting God is what this is all about. It's all about faith, faith, faith. You know, we go around telling people that we're saved. Well, you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, you know how to live by faith. Now, don't disappoint them. Huh? Show them that you live by faith, that you love God, and you trust God. You ought to be able to say, I can do this, preacher. I can do this. I can do this. All right. Prove it. Mean business. Let God do something you didn't think could be done. And so that you could be impressed and draw even still closer to God. If that's even possible for you. But hey, haven't we all said we can be closer to the Lord? Let's do it. Amen? Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. I would ask you tonight, I would ask you to take seriously what God has said. Because He has spoken. This meeting has been prayed for. Prayed about. And now we get to do something with it. Now we get to talk with the Lord about it. And now we get to take some sort of action concerning it. What will you do, my friend, concerning the message of God this night? Concerning missions and the need to increase giving by faith. Father, I thank You for this message tonight, for Your Holy Spirit and Your faithfulness to speak to the likes of we who dwell in this body of flesh that so often gets in our way. Lord, I would ask of Thee this day that You would somehow impress us, Lord, impress us so that we'll get up and do something. Far too long have we done not much, if we've done anything. Help us then, Lord, to approach You, Lord, and ask You to impress us to do something we've never done before. Something we can talk about the rest of our life if we will just trust You for it. Would You bless then, Lord? Would You bless in this invitation? Would You draw Your people to Yourself? Would You bring glory to Your namesake? Lord, we'll thank You for this. And ask these things now in Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen.